Wednesday, August 19th, 2020. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is off to a strong start. Hope everything in your life is going well. Hope you, your family, your friends, maybe your coworkers, whoever it is you're spending time with, hope everyone out there is staying healthy, and you're staying healthy mentally every bit as much as physically, which right now it's a little bit of a struggle, but hopefully you are pushing through and you're doing well. You know, today, August 19th, does actually mark a day in sports history. Not a great day, not an amazing day, nothing like that. Wasn't really all that memorable, but it was a day, and it did have something take place on this day that was pretty, I guess it was sort of big in the world of sports. You know, I don't always tell personal stories here on The Dose, but sit back and relax, because I'm actually going to tell a bit of a story today, because it was back in 1995, and I had a friend who was a huge Mike Tyson fan. When Mike was arrested back in 91, he was convicted for rape in 92. He served 4 years in prison. My friend swore that Mike Tyson was absolutely innocent. He had just been set up by the man. Well, Mike was paroled in March of 95. And of course, promoter Don King wasted no time whatsoever trying to get Tyson back in the ring as soon as possible because he had lost money on him while he was in prison. He, of course, wanted to make some more money off of Mike Tyson. Now, there was talk when Mike came out of prison that maybe he would get into the ring with George Foreman. And there were a number of people that wanted to see that fight, but I think the Tyson camp knew, yeah, that fight might end poorly with Mike at the height of his powers. It's probably going to end even worse with Mike just getting out of jail and really not all that polished of a fighter by that point anymore. So instead, they matched him up with Boston schlub Peter McNeely.
Who?
Do you remember the name Peter McNeely? I mean, Peter McNeely was a never was. He had no business even being in a professional boxing ring. He had fought a few local fights around the Massachusetts area, but he wasn't like a true pro fighter, not a guy that should be in the ring with Mike Tyson. Now, I had no interest at the time whatsoever in watching this fight. I wasn't interested in it. Yes, Mike Tyson was getting out of jail, but we all knew what was going to happen against a fighter like Peter McNeely. It wasn't going to go very well. So the fight is announced. Mike is just out of jail fighting a guy who shouldn't be in the ring with him. But my friend was all fired up for this fight. He couldn't wait for his hero to get back in the ring. Now, none of the rest of us were really all that interested in watching this. Like, no one really wanted to see this fight. Yes, there was the idea that Mike Tyson was getting back in the ring, but nobody really cared all that much about watching this. Like, let's get a good fight and then we'll tune in for that. But my friend said, hey, I will order the fight. I will pay for it on pay-per-view. I'll order pizza. I'll pay for all the drinks, everything. Just come to my house and watch the fight with me. So on the night of August 19th, 1995, a few, I don't know, dozen of us, I guess, showed up at his house for this fiasco. Now, my friend is super hyped all night during all the pre-fights, during all the undercard fights. He is just nervous. He's all anxious for Mike Tyson to get back in the ring. He's pacing. He's drinking. He's eating. He's telling anyone who will listen to him how Mike Tyson is going to kill this kid, Peter McNeely. And I keep telling him all night, yeah, we know. We know he's going to kill this kid. This isn't going to be a close fight. This kid shouldn't even be fighting him. But of course, he didn't want me to rain on his parade. He's bouncing off the walls. He's so excited for Mike Tyson's big comeback. So finally, the main event comes. And Mike Tyson makes his big patented entrance into the ring. Black shorts, no socks, towel with a hole cut out. Instead of a big robe and a lot of flash, he just walks in and he looks like he means business. My friend is literally running around the room that we're in watching the TV in anticipation. He's going to kill this kid. He's going to knock him out. I can't wait for this. He's all excited. By now, we're all just kind of rolling our eyes. Whatever, dude. Thanks for the pizza. Thanks for the drinks. Thanks for buying the fight. This fight's going to be terrible. So Tyson and McNeely meet in the center of the ring to get their final instructions from the referee. And McNeely is like kind of bouncing. He's kind of smiling at Mike Tyson. And Tyson looks like he's literally going to murder him. You can go back and watch it on YouTube. It is kind of scary to watch. Right as the bell rings, Tyson storms across the ring to knock the life out of Peter McNeely. And my friend, who is way too amped up by this point, drops a beer in the kitchen, which explodes. So he grabs a towel to go clean up the mess. And by the time he actually walks back into the front room, maybe like, I don't know, 40, 45 seconds later, no one is saying a word. Because the fight is already over. And he's like, what? What happened? We're like, the fight's over. He's like, no, seriously, what happened? Did the fight not start? No, it's literally over. Mike Tyson knocked Peter McNeely down in less than 10 seconds and then caught him again and hurt him. And McNeely's corner jumped into the ring and stopped the fight. 89 seconds was the official time of the fight. My friend literally missed the entire fight cleaning up a spilled drink. Now remember, this was back in 1995. You didn't just hit rewind on your remote and rewatch it. He missed it. That was it. It was over. That's how fights went sometimes with Mike Tyson. You didn't have time to clean up a drink or sometimes even blink. You just might miss what happened. But back on August 19th, 1995, Mike Tyson knocked out Peter McNeely, and it happened really, really fast. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite, I don't know, knockout of all time. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. I've been telling you every week, I know a lot of people are kind of cooped up just a little bit. You're not going out maybe as much as you used to. Hey, that's fine. If you're bored and you want to talk some sports, feel free to reach out to us. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you have a suggestion. I actually heard from a listener this past week, might have to discuss a little bit later in the show what it was that he had to say. He disagreed with me on something. Might have to talk about that here in just a few minutes, but feel free to reach out. Would love to hear what it is that's on your mind. Also, remember, we do now place a video portion of the podcast over on YouTube. Make sure you go over there. You subscribe to The Dose, like the videos that are going up. We would appreciate that. Thanks to everyone who is going over and watching each week. We just put a small portion of the podcast up on YouTube, so you kind of have a visual aspect to it as well. Hey, and as long as you're doing so much online shopping, which we all know, we are doing every bit of that online shopping right now, make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up your Daily Dose gear. TeePublic is doing a ton of sales right now. We've got a number of things over there with the Daily Dose logos on them, from social distancing masks to t-shirts to sweatshirts to hoodies, a number of Daily Dose items that you can pick up over there in a few different styles with a few different logos. So make sure you stop by tpublic.com, search for Daily Dose, and find the gear that you know you need in your life right now. Hey, today on the show, we have a number of sports stories coming out that we are going to need to discuss. Plus, the NBA playoffs started yesterday. We're actually going to take a look at what to expect in each one of those series. And we do have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you. And I'm telling you right now, it's a Daily Dose Top 5 that just might help you out during what is a little bit of a weird time right now. It might be something you need. Hey, here at The Dose, we are in the business of helping people. We're going to be doing that today with our Daily Dose Top 5. You're going to want to make sure that you check that out. But first, let's jump into some sports news from this past week. Let's go ahead and jump into the NFL, where the Washington football team has now hired a new team president by the name of Jason Wright. Jason Wright becomes the first black president of an NFL team. Now, Wright is a former NFL player. He's only 38 years old. And he's going to be responsible for leading the organization's business divisions, including operations, finance, sales, and marketing. He, of course, replaces longtime president for that Washington football franchise, Bruce Allen, who was dismissed as team president at the end of the 2019 season. Now, Allen had been hired by team owner Dan Snyder, and he was Washington's top executive. He had been there since 2009. And he had served as the primary decision maker in Washington business deals since 2013. Now, personally, I hope that Jason Wright is the real deal. I think that would be great if he goes out there and he does a good job for the Washington football team. For starters, Jason Wright, I really hope you come up with a better name than Washington football team. I know you're trying to sort all of that out, but really hope for your sake you come up with something good. But either way, here's the good news for Jason Wright. Bruce Allen, the guy who you were taking over for, was primarily inept at his job. Do you realize that during Allen's tenure, the Washington Redskins, which is what they were still known as at the time, finished with double-digit losses 5 different times. They never won more than 10 games in a season. They went 62-97-1 with Bruce Allen calling the shots. So, I mean, it's not like the bar is very high. Hey, Jason Wright, if you go like, I don't know, 63-96, you're golden. You're still ahead of the last guy that went. Staying in the NFL, the new ESPN Monday Night Football booth for the upcoming season has now been announced. After they took swings at guys like Tony Romo and Peyton Manning, which would have been huge. Can you imagine if ESPN would have actually pulled either Tony Romo or Peyton Manning? I mean, every single Monday Night Football game would once again be a major event. Unfortunately, ESPN did not get Peyton Manning. They did not get Tony Romo. So instead, they will be settling on the 3-man booth of Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, and Brian Griese. I said Brian Griese. Is this thing on? Jeez, ESPN, what is going on over there? That's who you had to take instead? Like, Beyonce thinks you settled. Were Booger McFarlane and, I don't know, Phil Sims too busy to take that job? Now, if you are wondering, how are things going over at ESPN? How are things going at the leader in sports? Yeah, I think we can pretty safely say,
not too good.
It's one thing that your ratings are in the toilet, and I understand. The ratings went down. There were no sports to watch, except for the fact that when you actually put something on, like the Michael Jordan documentary, people suddenly tuned in. But now, your ratings are still not very good. And I have a suspicion as to why. And this might be why. So get ready, folks. We don't do it very often, but right now, here on the Daily Dose, we are about to talk some soccer. You know, there were actually a smattering of boos when players from Dallas and Nashville collectively took a knee during the national anthem before their Major League Soccer game last week in Frisco, Texas. Now, Dallas and Nashville had not played a game since the season was suspended back in March. While other teams had played in Florida over the past month, both Dallas and Nashville were forced to withdraw because of a number of positive tests among players from both teams to the virus. So the teams met as Major League Soccer restarted the regular season in local markets. Some games will actually include fans if local jurisdictions allow it, and we know Texas is allowing a lot of things. Just over 5,000 people were allowed to attend the match down at Toyota Stadium, and when players took a knee for the national anthem, it didn't go so well. Dallas defender Reggie Cannon said he was disgusted by the boos when players and officials kneeled to call attention to racial injustice. Now, I want to talk about this just real briefly. One, remember this is Texas. That's a whole different country. I think we all know that. And maybe, just maybe, every single person at that soccer game that night was a racist. Or maybe the vocal majority at that game was racist. Whatever. Maybe they were just the ones making the most noise. You know what I mean? Or maybe the fans in Texas just wanted to watch a soccer game and not watch political statements. I think as we watch the NBA, as we watch this, there's a lot more of that than we think. Hey, here's the thing. I fully, completely support anyone who wants to kneel during the anthem. That is your right. That is freedom. That is First Amendment. Those are all those things that we have talked about before. I support that right. Whether or not I agree with it, We can talk about that. But I completely support your right to kneel. But understand this, and I have some bad news for all of the leagues embracing this. That doesn't mean it's good for business. You can do it. You might get booed. You might not make people happy, and you might have people turn the channels. Here's the weird thing to think about. Soccer is probably one of the more kind of easygoing sports from a spectator perspective. If soccer fans are booing this, what do you think is going to happen with college football and NFL? They're going to boo you mercilessly. Like I said, I fully support your right to do it. Understand, it might bite you in the business department. It might hurt you in the financial department. You can do it, but you have to understand there might be repercussions for doing it because not everyone agrees with what you are kneeling for. That's just how this world works. Now, speaking of college football, while the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have postponed their football seasons, and I put postponed in quotation marks because I think they really mean they have canceled their football seasons. Oh, they say we're going to play them in spring. I don't believe that for a second. It sounds like the ACC, the Big 12, and the SEC are planning on playing conference-only schedules. And earlier this week, the Southeastern Conference actually released that schedule. Now, I know right now it's tough to get too excited, but here is what the SEC schedule looks like in that opening weekend. That is supposed to be September 26th. We have Alabama at Missouri, Florida at Ole Miss, Georgia at Arkansas, Kentucky at Auburn, Mississippi State at LSU, Tennessee at South Carolina, and Vanderbilt facing Texas A&M. Hey, I don't know how this is all going to work. I have no idea how this is all actually going to look when it's done. But I like the look of that opening week. Florida versus Lane Kiffin. Yeah, I think I'd watch that. The defending champion LSU Tigers playing Mike Leach in the first week. Tennessee versus South Carolina. We know that's a really, really good rivalry. Yes, please. I will be watching every single second of those games. Now, the SEC also came out this week and they said that they will allow fans wearing face coverings into the stadiums. They say that each school will be designating how many fans are allowed at each event, but they do say fans are going to be allowed. Hey, the SEC doesn't care. They are going to go out and they're going to play football. And I'm telling you right now, prepare ahead of time. We will have positive tests. We will have people screeching that they need to shut everything down. But the SEC, they look like they are ready to play college football. Meanwhile, in other parts of the country, it's not quite looking that way. Because Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields has now started a petition requesting that the Big Ten Conference immediately reinstate the 2020 football season. And that petition already has like 250,000 signatures. Fields tweeted earlier in the week that this cause is close to my heart, and he urged people, go sign the petition. The campaign said they are asking the Big Ten to allow players and teams to make their own choices as to whether they wish to play or whether they want to opt out for the fall season. The petition follows the Big Ten's decision to postpone that 2020 season based on medical advice regarding the whole pandemic and a vote from the conference's presidents and chancellors. Brief side note, we have not heard how individual university presidents and chancellors have voted. I would think that's somewhat pertinent information. I would kind of like to see how did each school vote. That hasn't been revealed. And I'm kind of wondering if that was even actually done. I'm starting to doubt that whole thing. Fields goes on to say that he believes that players should be able to make decisions about what is best for them, for their health, and for their future. I find it interesting that all of these schools are fully open for business, yet somehow sports through this whole thing, those are a no-go. I know we hear all the time about schools, they just make money off of athletes. Schools are always trying to make money off of athletes. Never, ever forget this one item. Schools make a lot more money off of students than they do off of their athletes. Because I don't hear anyone saying anything about, say, Ohio State being open for classes. I don't hear that. I only hear people griping about them being able to play sports. Why is that? Oh yeah, that's because most of their money comes from those kids taking the classes. Let's be real clear about that. And while we are on this subject, you know, I tell you every week here on The Dose, I've already said it today, send in your emails, send in your tweets. We are glad to talk sports with any of our listeners. I have been fortunate in doing The Daily Dose. We have intelligent listeners. Here's the thing, and I'll be very upfront about this. You don't have to agree with everything I say. In fact, I'd be a little bit surprised if you did agree with everything that I say. I have members of the Daily Dose I team that don't agree with everything that I say. And you know what? That's okay. We can still have a good civil conversation, even if we do disagree on sports or whatever it might be we're talking about that week. Well, I got an email last week and I thought I would go ahead and share it with you. And no, I'm not going to share who it was from, but I did receive an email last week and I kind of went back and forth with a listener. I would like to share that email with you. Here's the email that I received. Clint, I usually enjoy listening to your podcast, but I struggled last week when you said you thought college football should return this season. I feel like the safety of the players is far more important and that many universities are doing the right thing by postponing the season until the spring. Okay, nothing bad there. And I certainly didn't take offense to him disagreeing with me. I just read it and said, okay, let me respond. So here is my response, and you take from this what you will. Thanks for the email. We can agree to disagree. I think postponing the football season to the spring is actually unrealistic because they're going to end up stomping on spring sports. Plus, you are going to have to ask football players to play two seasons in one calendar year. That doesn't seem to have the athletes' health in mind at all. I think, based on the statistics coming out, that kids are actually safer at schools where they can be monitored and tested better than at home doing their own thing. At least they will have the best healthcare on campus. Colleges are opening with kids in classes on campuses all over the nation. If that is happening, then sports can happen too. In addition, the new fast saliva test sounds like it's coming very soon. That could be an absolute game changer. Hoping for the best. Thanks for the email. So that's my response. Now, yes, I defended my position, but I certainly didn't jump on him or say anything, you know, you're a moron. I didn't do any of that. Now, this is where things start to go sour, because now our listener begins scolding me like a little boy. And I don't care who it is. If I'm going to get chewed out, like, you can't just chew me out when I don't know you. You're not my wife. If you want to chew me out, go ahead. But this kind of went a little bit sour. So here's the next response in the email. Clint, I'm not sure you realize this, but classrooms are safe. Kids in classrooms sit apart from each other. They social distance, but athletic competition lends itself to a lack of social distancing as players will be touching each other, breathing on each other, and possibly even getting bodily fluids like blood, saliva, or sweat on each other. That tells me athletics will not be safe at any level and should not be happening. Now, again, it's one thing to defend your point. It's another thing to talk down to me like I'm a little kid. That doesn't really sit that well with me. Here is my response. I'm not sure you realize this, but at college campuses across the country, college students don't actually spend 24 hours a day in a classroom. In fact, they are in dorm rooms together. If the dorms are closed, they're living together in off-campus housing. They are in bars and restaurants together. They're at the park or just hanging out together. Some of them, I have heard, even touch each other. In fact, I have even heard rumors that sometimes college students might even exchange a bodily fluid here or there. And you know what? They're not being tested constantly. They're not being monitored constantly like athletes are. If you think college kids don't touch each other and that they apply to social distancing rules 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I have some great oceanfront property in Aurora, Colorado to sell you. Please let me know if you're interested. You know, for some reason, I have yet to hear back. I don't know what happened there, but I never did get another response. Hey, let's be real clear. Universities are starting back up because they need the money. And if they can start back up, and if kids are back on campus, and athletes are actually allowed right now to practice 20 hours per week. And at some schools, intramural athletics are allowed. If that's the case, then why in the world can't intercollegiate athletics start as well? Hey, I told you last week, the one big takeaway I have from this whole pandemic is the poor leadership that we have seen at pretty much every single level. Well, I have one more takeaway that I need to add. I've got to add this. This virus is so incredibly smart. It is so intelligent. It knows whether we're at a bar or whether we're at a protest. It knows if we're at a hair salon or if we're at a restaurant. It knows if we're at an intercollegiate game or at an intramural game or in a quarterback meeting or in a chemistry class. The biggest takeaway I am having from this whole pandemic, this is easily the smartest virus in the history of mankind. My goodness, people. Anyways, don't let that email phase you. Trust me, I still want to hear from listeners. I am happy to talk sports with anyone. Like I said, we don't have to agree with each other. You might hear this right now and say, Clint, I disagree. I don't think sports should start back up at the collegiate level. That's fine. We can listen. We can agree to disagree. And we can still be nice to each other and talk sports. I absolutely welcome any thoughts that you might have. Send them. I want to hear from my listeners. I love that I do hear from listeners. But it might not go well if you're going to talk down to me like I'm a little kid. Okay, coming back, the NBA playoffs started on Monday, and yes, the playoffs are going to be a little bit weird this year, but what should we expect from these weird bubble playoff games? Well, we have a few things to watch for in each NBA playoff series. Our unique NBA playoff preview is coming right after this. So the NBA playoffs are now underway. They actually got started on Monday night. And for those of you who haven't been tuning in, and based on the TV ratings, that's pretty much all of you, we have a few things for you to watch when you do tune in to these NBA playoffs. First off, little trivia for you here. Do you realize that these 2020 NBA finals will be the first finals since 1995 to not involve either Steve Kerr, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, or Dwayne Wade? Kind of a bizarre stat. Of course, we know Steve Kerr was involved both as a player and as a coach, so that stretched that out for quite a while. But it is kind of a weird year, and this is going to be a little bit of a weird finish to the regular season, which is now over. But right now, we are going to take a brief look at each of the NBA playoff series, and we're going to give you some things to kind of watch for in each of them. Something to kind of look out for if this is happening. It might tell you how the series is going to go. But before we actually get to that, the NBA, which is, of course, in that bubble down in Orlando, actually announced last week that they were going to now allow family members to enter a quarantine zone so that they would be able to stay in the bubble with players. Kind of help out some NBA players. Hey, here's some family members. They can hang out with you, be supportive of you. You can actually be with your wife or be with your kids as long as they go through that quarantine phase. Now, they did also specify a no skank clause in that announcement.
What?
And here's how they actually phrased that little tidbit. Here's the quote from the NBA. Any individual that the player has not previously met in person or with whom the player has had limited in-person interactions. That means a person known by the player only through social media. Translation, if you didn't keep up with any of that, and it would be easy to understand why you wouldn't. Here's a translation. No Instagram skanks are allowed in the NBA bubble. Because here's the thing. All of the good feelings about that NBA bubble where they have had no positive tests, they're all going to go away mighty fast if some skank side piece gets in and decides to stir things up. But aside from that drama, let's go ahead and take a look at what we can expect from each NBA playoff series. And let's start off in the Eastern Conference, where we will have the number one Milwaukee Bucks facing the number eight Orlando Magic. And I guess if I was looking at one specific thing for this series, I just want to watch if superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo can shoot the ball. Because the last few seasons, the Bucks have been dominating in the regular season. And this season, they've done it again. But then, when the playoffs start, teams start packing the paint. And they start daring Milwaukee to shoot from outside. Hey, you're going to have to prove it. We're not going to come out on you. No, you can go ahead and you can have that shot. Well, this season, Giannis is shooting about 30% from three-point range. But you know what? It's not even that. As much as I want to see if he can knock down a few trays, that's all well and good. If he does it, that'll be pretty impressive. But you know what I want to see? I want to see if he can just make some free throws. Remember, the Greek Freak is a 72% career free throw shooter. But we saw him struggle last year in the playoffs, where he missed free throw after free throw after free throw. Hey, if he can shoot the ball well, Milwaukee's going to be a very tough out. Now, I do also want to see if the Bucks can keep the Orlando Magic from knocking down threes of their own. Because the Milwaukee Bucks are a very big team. And that's all well and good when you want to pound the ball into the paint. But at the other end, you've got to chase down shooters out on the perimeter. So I want to see if Orlando can get some open shots. Can they stretch that Milwaukee defense a little bit? Having said all that, I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters one bit against Orlando. The Bucks should easily handle the Orlando Magic. But I'll give Orlando this. They do play hard every single night. Milwaukee will have to bring it. Don't sleep. Because if you do, Orlando will be a pain. Other than that, the Milwaukee Bucks are going to roll in this series. Next up, we have the surprising number 2 Toronto Raptors playing the number 7 Brooklyn Nets. Toronto is a team that kind of has surprised all of us, haven't they? I mean, last year they win it, but they had Kawhi Leonard. Everything went their way. We're kind of looking at them going, well, they kind of lucked into that title. Doesn't look that way. In fact, Toronto actually went down to Orlando. They went to the bubble early, and they got used to playing there. And you know, when you watch them, I just kind of like their business-like approach to this whole thing. We haven't heard Toronto talking much. But you know what we have seen? They keep winning. But here's what I want to watch in this series. I want to watch Toronto's half-court defense. Because remember last year, when they threw some unorthodox things at the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals, they were going out and running some box and one, triangle two kind of stuff. Stuff you would never do in the NBA. And you know what's kind of weird? It worked for a possession here or there. And it saved them a possession here or there. Head coach Nick Nurse, I'll give that guy this. He is not afraid to change things up and try something, even if it kind of sounds crazy to try. But if the Raptors are playing good half-court defense, it's going to create some serious transition offense for them. And that's the other thing to watch. Can Brooklyn's half-court defense make Toronto struggle at least a little in the half-court? Because Toronto's half-court offense isn't all that great. Now, next year, if Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant were both playing for Brooklyn, this might be a decent series. But I'm watching Brooklyn in the bubble. They look terrible. They don't have most of their players. This should be over quick. I would think Toronto either sweeps Brooklyn or probably wins the series in 5 games. We get to what should be a more competitive series as the number 3 Boston Celtics are going to be facing the number 6 Philadelphia 76ers. Now, a few weeks ago, I-Team President Big Rob stopped by and we talked about how dangerous the Boston Celtics can be because they are young and they are very, very talented. But here's the thing about Boston. They don't have a whole lot of size. So you might want to watch in this series, is that lack of size going to be a problem? Can the Boston Celtics come up with some way to limit Sixers big man Joel Embiid? Because here's the thing, for whatever reason, Joel Embiid gets up to play the Boston Celtics. He destroys the Celtics by himself. Can Boston come up with something to slow down Embiid? Can they keep him off the boards? And at the other end, can they make that lack of size a strength? Can you force Joel Embiid to have to chase people around the perimeter? But I think this is going to be a fun series to watch. I actually think Philadelphia, at times, looks quite a bit better without Ben Simmons in the lineup. Because remember, he's out with that knee injury. But now with Simmons out, what Philadelphia does, they just put 4 shooters around Embiid. And if you double down on Joel Embiid, he kicks it out and maybe they can knock down a 3. If Joel Embiid isn't pouting, if he goes hard at Boston like he usually does, I think Philly could make this series a little bit closer than people might expect. I will take Boston to win this. Might take them 6 or 7 games, though. But I will take the Celtics. Our final series over in the Eastern Conference features the number 4 Indiana Pacers against the number 5 Miami Heat. The Pacers have played very well down in Orlando. They got back Victor Oladipo. TJ Warren has actually, bizarrely, been playing like MVP-level basketball. And it's going to be interesting to watch this series with the Heat, because remember, Jimmy Butler and TJ Warren, they don't really like each other. They have talked some trash back and forth. Jimmy Butler has told TJ Warren, "You're garbage. I don't even have to work to beat you." And if Butler has to defend TJ Warren throughout the series, it might get kind of interesting. Because you wonder, would that take some of the legs away from Butler down at the offensive end? And if so, then we need to watch, can the Heat get contributions from anyone else? Because a lot of times Miami has struggled to have other guys step up and help Jimmy Butler. You're going to need Tyler Hero or like Bam Adebayo to step up and score some points offensively. I'm going to take the Miami Heat to win this series because I just think Jimmy Butler is that tough. But I could easily see this series being a 7-game thriller that is back and forth the entire way. I will take the Heat to win it, though. We move over to the Western Conference now, where we have the number 1 Los Angeles Lakers facing a very, very interesting number 8 Portland Trailblazers team, who of course had to get past that play-in game over the weekend with the Memphis Grizzlies for the final seed in the Western Conference. Now, it's easy to look at this matchup. And with the way that Portland has been playing, it's easy to think, hey, they're going to give the Lakers all they want in this series. And maybe they will. But there are a few things that concern me with this Portland team. For one, they play to the level of whoever they face. If they play a bad team, they don't always look so sharp. If they play a good team, they look very sharp. Now, that should help them here, because the Lakers are the top seed in the West. They're going to come out and they're going to bring it every single night. But there are still a few things to watch in this series. The first thing to watch, and it's not just this series, the first thing to watch all postseason with the Los Angeles Lakers is this. Can they shoot the basketball? Because if there is an Achilles heel for this team, it is their shooting. For the season, the Los Angeles Lakers are shooting just 30% from three-point range. They are the worst shooting team remaining in the postseason right now. And if the Lakers can't stretch that Portland defense, well, then this series might get a little bit interesting. Because the Blazers have the size to pack the paint and, again, kind of dare the Lakers to shoot from outside. So LA needs to knock down a few shots. The second thing I want to watch, we all know how great Blazers guard Damian Lillard has been in the bubble. Jeez, dude has been probably the closest thing that we have seen lately to looking like a Kobe Bryant. He can just go out and get 40, 50, even 60 on a given night. But here's the thing. In this series, for the Lakers, 50 points out of Damian Lillard, that doesn't beat you. What does beat you is if he gets 15, 20, 25 from some other guys. If guys like CJ McCollum, who is nursing a bad back, if he does anything, that could hurt. If Gary Trent keeps contributing, that could hurt. If the Blazers get contributions from other guys, Lillard, just those 50 points, that's not going to beat you. It's those other guys going out and getting 20, 30 of their own. Then you're in a dogfight. And maybe the Blazers would be able to put some pressure on that Lakers bench, which hasn't proven to be all that deep, at least down in the bubble. Now, I think the Lakers are going to win this. I think Portland, maybe they could push them to 6 games, but I don't think the Portland Trailblazers can beat the Los Angeles Lakers. I think this might be a better series than most 1-versus-8 series we're used to seeing, because I think most of the games will be competitive. I just don't see Portland actually being able to beat the Lakers. So let's move on to the next series, because the Los Angeles Clippers are the number 2 seed in the West, and they will be facing the number 7 Dallas Mavericks. Now, I know all season, it is so easy to love the Los Angeles Clippers. Well, at least on paper. Because they look great on paper. But we didn't quite know who they were going into the bubble because guys like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George sat out so much that we really couldn't get that great of a read on this team. But here's the thing. I still don't have a great read on this team. I think they're going to be very, very good defensively. And that is what I want to watch in this series. The Clippers defense versus the Dallas Mavericks offense. Do you realize the Mavericks are averaging 125 points per game in the bubble? They can score. They can put up some serious points. But here's the other thing that we want to watch. We want to see if the Clippers defense can do anything. We want to see if they're actually going to be good. Here's the other thing I want to watch. I'm not sure who the Clippers are just yet, but I also don't know who the Mavericks are either. I mean, I see highlights of the Dallas Mavericks throughout the entire season. And I'm like, oh, hey, they won again. Hey, the Mavericks are winning. They're pretty good. And then I tune in and I actually watch a Dallas Mavericks game. And I'm like, this team is basically four Stooges and Luka Doncic. No one else really does anything. I mean, Kristaps Porzingis, that dude disappears more than Sean Kemp the morning after. We also need to watch, does anyone else for Dallas step up? Could we get something from, I don't know, Seth Curry or Porzingis or Tim Hardaway Jr.? I don't care. Someone else has to step up. Because I'll tell you this right now. The Los Angeles Clippers are going to make life very, very difficult for young Luka. Because I want you to think about the people they have to roll out at him. They're going to guard him with Patrick Beverley. They're going to guard him with Kawhi Leonard. They're probably even going to guard him with Paul George. If the Mavericks don't have a few people step up, Luka is going to wear out because he can't do it all by himself. And if that happens, this series is going four, maybe five games. Dallas is going to have to get some other people to step up and play some big minutes. I'm going to take the Clippers in, let's say, five games in this series. My hometown Denver Nuggets are the Western Conference 3 seed, and they are facing the Utah Jazz in what was honestly probably the best matchup possible that Denver could have gotten. But that doesn't even matter, because the Nuggets are still going to have their hands absolutely full, because this is such a flaky, immature basketball team. And the one thing I want to watch is, will point guard Jamal Murray truly be ready for primetime playoff basketball? Hey, we know Nikola Jokic, he's going to be pretty good. He's going to probably average a triple-double. You can make a case that Jokic is the best passing big man ever. He's that good. It's what he does. But when Jamal Murray is great, the Denver Nuggets can play with anyone. And when he doesn't show up, they can literally lose to everyone. Now, everyone will talk about Jokic. Everyone will talk about young Nuggets superstar Michael Porter Jr. But if the Nuggets want to do anything in the postseason, I'm telling you right now, Jamal Murray has to be a star. Here's the other thing I want to watch in this series. Can the Jazz consistently score on that Denver defense? Because this Nuggets defense, oh, it's bad. I mean, it's really bad. This defense gets scored on more than a Kardashian at the BET Awards. They are allowing 123 points per game in the bubble. That's horrible. And here's the thing. The Jazz don't have a great offense. It's like a middle of the pack offense. They score 111 points a game. If they are going above that 111 points, the Nuggets are going to be in a dogfight. They're going to be in trouble. Because here's the thing that I watch when I watch the Denver Nuggets defensively. A lot of times they're out of position. They don't really understand how to play defense. And secondly, they foul way too much. They are constantly fouling shooters. They are constantly fouling people because they're out of position. And if they do that against Utah, Utah is going to knock down free throws at the line. This will be a dogfight of a series, and the Denver Nuggets will be lucky to get out of it alive. I absolutely expect the Utah Jazz to give Denver all they want. It won't surprise me to see the Denver Nuggets go home early. I'm going to pick the Nuggets in seven games, but it will not surprise me to see Utah knock them off. Our final series of the first round of these NBA playoffs is the number 4 Houston Rockets facing the number 5 Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, I don't know how the Rockets are doing anything, but I will give them this. They have played pretty well in the bubble. Now, Rockets guard Russell Westbrook is out with a quad strain. And I know you hear that and you think, oh, quad strain, what, he's going to miss like a game or two. A quad strain is pretty serious, especially for a guy as explosive as Russell Westbrook. You think of the way he plays, just attacking and driving. You're going to need that quad. You think of him playing defense and getting down into defensive stance. You're going to need that quad. That is a very dangerous injury for a guy that plays the way he does. But I do think this series might end up being one of the best first round series of the NBA playoffs. You know, the Houston Rockets starting five down in the bubble, it's changed numerous times. They're plugging a number of different people into the starting lineup, but they have found ways at times to beat some good teams. So what should we watch in the Rockets versus the Thunder series? Well, Houston, of course, is going to be playing that small basketball. They're going to get beat on the glass. They will sacrifice that for all of the outside shooting that they do. But it's kind of weird because Oklahoma City, they're not this real dominant post-up team. They don't really go inside all that much themselves. Steven Adams is all Oklahoma City has. So again, what should we watch in this series? And I think if there's one thing I'm going to watch in Rockets versus Thunder, I just want to see who's going to step up, James Harden or Chris Paul. Because remember, hey, both of those guys are great players. Both of those guys are future Hall of Famers. And both of those guys have fallen notoriously short in the postseason. And they kind of have that rap on them. Yeah, you know, Chris Paul's a good player, but he doesn't do anything in the playoffs. Yeah, James Harden, he's a great scorer in the regular season, but come playoffs, he's just chucking up brick after brick after brick. So I just want to see Chris Paul, James Harden, who can actually lead their team to win a postseason series. Hey, if Houston is hitting shots from long range, they are absolutely going to be a handful. But I actually think Chris Paul has the better team, especially with Westbrook out. I am going to take the Oklahoma City Thunder to advance, but I expect this series to go 7 games, and I think it should be a very, very entertaining one. Hey, the NBA playoffs, they should be a lot of fun. And yes, there is probably going to be an asterisk next to the eventual champion. But understand this, this will be tough for whoever wins the championship because the circumstances are weird. But remember this, no one has home court advantage. And the lack of home court advantage is going to be a fascinating aspect to watch. Hey, I made my picks, but I guarantee we are going to see upsets. I know that no one has been watching the NBA so far, but maybe these playoffs bring a few fans. Maybe the excitement starts to ramp up and maybe we get a very, very entertaining NBA postseason. At least that's what I'm hoping for. Okay, coming back. It is now past the middle of August. Now, I don't know about you, but I, for one, I am actually really missing football because usually we have training camps in full speed mode. We would usually have NFL preseason games going. College teams would be nearing the start of their week one. High school football teams, they would be getting underway. But right now, we are just starting to get some football things going. But for the most part, there's still no football to watch. And I'm missing it. You might be too. When we come back, I am going to give you 5 ways to beat the no football blues as we await this season to finally get started. Now, as we do every week, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, I know right now we have a number of things actually going in sports. The NBA playoffs are underway. Major League Baseball is going now. The Stanley Cup playoffs are rolling. NASCAR is racing. You might not have realized this. I didn't. The Indy 500 is actually this next Sunday. We have MMA events. We have the PGA Tour. We have soccer and boxing events going. And I actually like all the sports that are going on right now. There are actually some things to watch. And for months, we didn't have that. I'm watching them. But you know, mid to late August here in the United States, it typically means just one thing, at least to me, maybe to you, football. And while there is some limited movement right now in the world of football, Training camps are beginning to open in the NFL. College football is starting practice in the ACC and the SEC and the Big 12 and Notre Dame. But we aren't going to have the preseason like we usually have it. And while I won't miss preseason games from the NFL one tiny single bit, they usually did provide us with something to watch, some news. So-and-so played well. This rookie looked pretty good. Maybe, I don't know, somebody got injured, something bad like that. But we got some news from it. Now, last week, HBO's annual NFL documentary, Hard Knocks, began. And this season, Hard Knocks is covering both the Los Angeles Chargers and the Los Angeles Rams, who will be sharing a stadium in LA. And early on, it's kind of tough to watch because the entire thing is basically just showing how they have to social distance and all of the testing that is going on within NFL complexes. It's not really all that much football. You have to cover those angles. I understand it, but I don't really want to watch it. I want to watch some actual football. I want to have some actual football excitement. And if you are feeling the same way and you need some real football in your life, I actually have some alternatives for you. Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is going to count down the top 5 TV shows to satisfy your football fix. And no, I'm not talking about shows like the Aaron Hernandez documentary or anything like that, O.J. Simpson, whatever, because those are about murder. Those aren't about football. I mean real, actual football. And no, I'm actually not talking about Hard Knocks. I've got a few other series that might be worth your time if you are jonesing to watch some football. So let's start off at number 5. We have a series on HBO that follows two high school football teams, both in the state of Florida. In fact, just down the road from each other. Fourth and Forever Muck City is what it's called. And Fourth and Forever Muck City is an 8-part documentary that follows the rivalry between two high schools, Pahokee High School and Glade Central. Now, the story itself, it's reasonably interesting. You have some names down there. You have some big-time talent down there. But like former Los Angeles Raider Jesse Hester, do you remember him? He coaches Glade Central. And former Baltimore Ravens wide receiver Anquan Boldin, well, his little brother is actually the coach at Pahokee. Now, I'll warn you ahead of time. The camera work in Fourth and Forever, it's not great. Sometimes it looks like they let actual high school kids do the filming. They'll miss a section of a play. So that part's not great. But the overall product of the show, Muck City, it does at least give you a pretty good feeling about the high school football experience. Now, I want to give you one word of warning. Do not confuse Fourth and Forever Muck City with another series on HBO called Just Fourth and Forever. They're both on HBO. They're a part of the same thing. But Fourth and Forever, without the Muck City, it follows a season with Long Beach Poly High School out in Los Angeles, California. And I'm telling you right now, that series is terrible. I watched it. But here's the dumb thing. Instead of just filming a documentary, they tried to have the players and coaches act and say their lines. So it's really, really painful to watch. But Fourth and Forever Muck City, it's not bad. It actually does have some drama. You see a really, really close rivalry. These kids know each other. These teams and coaches know each other. It's a heated rivalry. I wouldn't say it's like a bitter hate rivalry, but it's definitely a heated rivalry. Fourth and Forever Muck City, at least solid, and it comes in at number 5. We move on to number 4. And we have a series that is going to make you cheer for some things involving football. It's also going to make you cringe quite a bit because we know how big Texas high school football is. Hey, some of those schools down there, they are playing in like college stadiums. It's insane. Well, Friday Night Tykes follows the Pee Wee football teams that eventually feed into those Texas high schools. Now, there are currently 4 seasons of Friday Night Tykes on Netflix, and you're going to see a number of things. Some of them are good. You're going to see young future superstars. You're going to see kids working really hard who truly have a love of the game. And you're also going to see some really bad things. You're going to see psychotic parents. You're going to see way too demanding coaches of like 8 and 9 year olds. You're going to see kids get head injuries that are just swept aside. You will see people acting like fools in the stands of a peewee football game. It can be tough to watch at times, I won't lie. And it can also have you at the edge of your seat as you wonder what might happen next. Friday Night Tykes is a perfect example of adults ruining things for kids in youth sports, as we see so often. But I'll say this, Friday Night Tykes, sometimes it's a train wreck. It is kind of a train wreck you can't turn away from. It comes in on our list today at number 4. We reach our number 3 alternative to no football just yet. We have some football for you to watch though. And at number 3, we have another Netflix original series that follows high school football. And this series actually focuses on the quarterback position specifically. It's called QB1 Beyond the Lights. And this series has actually been fortunate enough to follow some pretty good quarterbacks. They follow Jake Fromm, who played, of course, at the University of Georgia, is now in the NFL. They follow current Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields. They follow Tate Martell. You might remember he went and played at the University of Miami. They follow Spencer Rattler, who is supposed to be the starting quarterback at the University of Oklahoma this year. Those 4 guys have all appeared in the show. There are 3 seasons of QB1, and each of them gets you invested in 3 different quarterbacks as they follow them through their season. And you do kind of get interested in these guys. You follow them enough that you want to go Google search them and be like, well, where'd this kid end up? What did he end up doing? He's a pretty good player. Or he struggled. Whatever happened to this guy? I never heard of him after this. It is interesting to see the different quarterbacks and how they are in usually their senior season, their primetime moment. But it's also interesting to see some of the different high schools because you can tell in the different states just how passionate some of these people are for their high school. We see high schools in California, Georgia, Florida, a big time high school in Las Vegas, Nevada. QB1, it's pretty entertaining. And they say there is a 4th season coming out soon. QB1 Beyond the Lights. It makes our list today at number 3. Moving on to number 2. Now, maybe you don't care about high school or even college football. Maybe what you are missing right now is the National Football League. But I mean, all that's out there to watch about the NFL is Hard Knocks, right? Well, actually, no. Check out a series on Amazon called All or Nothing. There are actually 5 seasons of All or Nothing. And each one of them follows a full season of footage from the locker room to the sideline to the headset to getting to know the players at home to game mics on players. And they follow a few different teams in these seasons. So All or Nothing starts off following the Arizona Cardinals for a season. They follow the Los Angeles Rams, the Dallas Cowboys, the Carolina Panthers, and finally, the most recent addition followed the Philadelphia Eagles. But here's the thing about All or Nothing, and here's the thing that separates it from Hard Knocks. All or Nothing does what we wish Hard Knocks did. It actually keeps following the team after the preseason. It follows them through the regular season. It follows them in their biggest games, and sometimes even into the playoffs, if they actually are lucky enough to make the playoffs. You get to know players. You get to know coaches. You get to hear private conversations. And sometimes you find out, oh, that's what happened in that big game. This is what they were talking about. This is what the coaches were trying to do. All or Nothing on Amazon. It's a pretty entertaining series. A number of different seasons for you to choose from and a few different teams that you might want to watch. But Amazon's All or Nothing comes in on our list today at number 2. Hey, if you're jonesing for some football, you might want to go check that one out. We finally reach our number 1 entry on our top 5 list of football shows to watch right now while we are waiting for real live football to actually get started. And we reach our number 1 entry, and it's really, really good. I'll tell you that right now. I watched this and I am like, I'm at the edge of my seat. It's really, really good. Last Chance U now has 3 seasons on Netflix. But the first 2 seasons are actually split in half. So it's kind of like they have 5 seasons, but it's really just 3 full seasons. But Last Chance U follows a junior college full of players who are hoping to move on to the big time, but are also just one strike away from never being heard from again. Now, the first season, kind of 2 seasons, follows East Mississippi Community College. The second is based at Independence Community College in Kansas. And the most recent is at Laney College in Oakland, California. Each of these seasons follows these kids, follows the coaches, sometimes it even follows some of the professors within the university. And these players are all hoping to transfer on to the big time world of Division I football. Some of them came from there and they got sent down. They are now wanting to go back. Some make it. You might recognize some of their names, and others that are really talented that look every bit like they could possibly be a D1 player. They could even be an NFL kind of player. You have to remember, sometimes there's a reason that they are there to begin with, because sometimes they just can't get out of their own way. But Last Chance U, it is very interesting to watch. Sometimes there are some big time high moments. Sometimes there are embarrassing moments. Sometimes there are sad and disappointing moments. There are great moments on and off the field. I encourage you to check out Last Chance U on Netflix. Hey, if you're missing football like I am, you might want to check out a few of these shows that are out there, because it's not going to be long and we should get some real life football coming our way very soon. Keep in mind, the NFL is scheduled to start their regular season on September 10th. College football, they are saying they are going to get their season started on September 26th. And as usual, here at The Dose, we will be getting you ready for those seasons as we get closer. So make sure that you keep listening. But it sounds like football season is coming, and I, for one, am rooting for it to happen. It might be weird. I don't care. I still want my football. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will be doing our very best to keep you up to date with the latest happenings in the world of sports. A number of things are starting to move around now. We're getting movement in the NFL, college football starting practice, the NBA playoffs are rolling, Stanley Cup playoffs are rolling, auto racing is going, PGA is going. There are actually a number of things going right now. This is seriously turning out to be like the busiest August ever in the history of sports. I don't know that any of us expected it. It might feel a little bit weird, but I am just thrilled to finally have some sports to talk about. We will do our best next week to keep you up to date on exactly all that is going on as only we can. Hey, don't forget to go over to YouTube, subscribe to our Daily Dose channel, like a few of those videos for us. We would appreciate that. I'll leave links for you so that you can make sure you find our Daily Dose videos. Hey, have to say thank you so much to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you so much for subscribing to that YouTube channel. Thank you for giving us positive ratings wherever it is that you listen. But most of all, thank you so much for sharing the show with someone that you know. We love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great week, everybody. I will see you all next Wednesday. This defense gets scored on more than a Kardashian at the BET Awards.